Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." The church is very important to our Lord. In just a moment, we'll be reading from the book of Matthew and chapter 16. But let me read to you from the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." To the churches. In 1 Corinthians 1:3, "Under the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord." Called to be saints. Are you called to be a saint? Well, if you know Christ as your Savior, you need to live a life that shows that you are. Ephesians 1:1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." To the faithful. I tell you what we need in our churches today are faithful men and women. Men and women who don't have to be petted all the time, that don't have to be babied all the time, but who are willing to stand up for what is right. If you would, let us stand together. The book of Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin reading at verse 13. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you were willing to die for sinners. And as we will read, you died and shed your blood even for the church, that you could present it glorious unto yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. The church, as we said, is very important to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here in verse 18, Jesus makes it very clear that the church is not built on a man, but upon Jesus Christ himself. Hebrews 10:25 makes it very clear that we are to be very active in church attendance, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, exhorting or to advise strongly, to urge earnestly or to warn diligently as we gather together. Let me read to you from the book of Ephesians, and you can turn there also. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, familiar words concerning the church. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 21, where Jesus makes it clear that Christ loved the church so much that he was willing to give himself for it. And it says in Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Can I ask you a question? Do you think if Christ loved the church, then we should also love the church? Don't you believe that? I'm going to ask you then, don't you think you ought to love the church? You should. Christ gave himself for it. It's important to him. So how important is church attendance? Does one have to attend to be a Christian? Well, I heard a no, but I'm going to disagree. See, to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Did Christ attend worship services? Absolutely. Thus, we need to also. Jesus faithfully attended the synagogue services. Luke 4:16 says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, let me clarify something. You do not have to attend church to be a born-again believer, because Christ died so that we could be saved through faith. But if we are going to be on good terms with the Lord, then we must be willing to love the church and attend the church. Christian fellowship is very important. Be it a fifth Sunday potluck, be it youth camp, be it a mission conference, which is right around the corner, and we still need some mission posters and items for our mission bags. Be it a ladies' Bible study or a midweek service or the Sunday services, Christian fellowship is important. Christian fellowship encourages. Christian fellowship strengthens. Christian fellowship reinforces our faith. Christian fellowship fortifies our beliefs. While one is under the sound of the gospel, the Holy Spirit can convict. I believe it's one reason that people do not want to attend church, because they don't want to be convicted of their sins. While one is under the sound of the gospel, we find that it reveals the needs to repent and to make things right. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Warren Wiersbe writes, there is a desperate need for honesty in the church today. Honesty. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love. If we practice love without truth, it is hypocrisy. A lot of churches today talk about love, but they leave out so much of the scripture and the truth. But if we try to have only truth without love, it will lead to brutality Jesus always taught the truth in love. And a good thing to remember that truth must follow humility. Again, Warren Wiersbe writes, a proud Christian cannot speak the truth in love. All too often, he will use a brother's faults as a weapon to fight with and not as a tool to build with. His results will be disharmony and disagreement. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 5? Acts chapter 5. May I say this? The first internal problem of the New Testament church was dishonesty, and it involved money. The first internal problem. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. As we will read in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we note that Ananias and Sapphira tried to make the church members believe that they were more spiritual than they really were. They lied to themselves and thinking they could get away with the masquerade. They lied to their fellow church members and the church leaders, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. The result was judgment and death. Note the following thought: God may not kill every hypocrite in the church today, but hypocrisy certainly helps to kill the church. Well, we should thank God that he doesn't kill every hypocrite in the church today, right? Yes. Acts chapter 5, do you have it there? Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession. Do you understand what is happening there? They had a possession. They had some land and they sold it. Was it okay to sell the land? It was okay, wasn't it? Verse 2, and kept back part of the price. Was that all right? What was all right that they kept it back? It was still theirs. It wasn't until they lie about it that it matters. Notice, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. We notice down in verse 11, it says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Let me ask you a question. What would happen if God still touched hearts that same way? That if someone was a hypocrite and they came to church, God struck them dead. Would you come to see who God would strike dead this week? Would you? Or would you be afraid that God might strike you down? Well, wouldn't that be amazing if we had to put a morgue in the basement of our church because every week somebody God struck down? Do you think we'd see a difference in the people who attended? There'd be a difference, wouldn't there? Wouldn't you live your life differently if you knew there was a chance if when you went to church that you might die? Hello? Yes. I know I would. Well, would you say that maybe there'd be certain words you wouldn't say during the week? Would you think maybe there'd be certain television programs you wouldn't watch? Do you think you would drive differently? You wouldn't drive any differently? You're a perfect driver. I wouldn't want to be behind you. And I tell you what. I was driving down Canal the other day. You know the speed limit on a canal is 40 miles an hour. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's fine. You're a patient driver. There's a difference. Okay, there's a patience. I was driving, where was I? I was driving a canal and the speed limit's 40 and some person was doing 30. Why do we get upset? Because you're going to get where you're going to get there. It's just going to be how much longer? 10 seconds? 20 seconds? Where was I? Oh, I was talking about Ananias lying. Have you ever lied in church? Before you say an answer, have you ever sung a song? And you lied because you sang the words in that song? I am thine, O Lord. Yes. I surrender all. Yeah, there are a lot of times we lie when we sing song words. Do you ever think that? You think, oh, do I really mean what I just said? Wouldn't that be something? The song leader is leading the song, and he reads the words just as it says, and boom, he drops down dead. Now, that never would have happened to me. You believe that for a moment? Because we're all what? Sinners. Aren't you glad we're saved by grace? Then why did Ananias, why was he struck dead? He was saved under grace. Was it an example? It was an example. Not only did Ananias die, his wife would come along shortly afterwards and she would die. See, God loves the church. Christ loves the church. Hypocrisy is a deliberate deception, trying to make people think we are more spiritual than we really are. Now, folks, that was the introduction. It's 20 minutes. Now we're going to do the sermon. We're going to start right with the conclusion. Is that all right? 7 points in my conclusion. The book of Acts, if you would, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20. I'm going to read at verse 28. Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus. And notice what he says, Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. First, the church is not this building. It is the body of called out believers. And the fact of the matter is we could have the church meet tonight in any of your houses. And we could say that instead of being here at 11455 Canal Road, we are going to meet and we could name a different location. And where would the church meet? It would be at that location. It's not this building with the freshly painted walls. It's not this building. It is the believers. It's the believers. Second, Paul reminds the Ephesian elders that Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. It is precious. And we should remember how precious the church is. The church is precious. Number three, that we must be on God constantly. Because our enemy seeketh whom he may devour, be it an individual believer or a whole church. Can Satan destroy a church? A body of believers? The fact of the matter is, if we're not careful, sin can creep in and people begin to accept it and say it's all right because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Jesus Christ was not afraid of people's feelings. He wanted the truth to be known. truth is more important than feelings. Because feelings can get us into trouble. In fact, feelings get us in trouble all the time. Number four, we note in verse 28, feed the church. That's why people need to come to the house of God to be fed. Now, yes, through the week we need to be having times of when we read the Word of God. And you may have a devotional booklet, or you may have something that you use every day. But we need to have to be fed. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. In other words, when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it, tell the people, because they need to know. Fifth, the church is not to lose sight of its main goal of bringing souls to Christ and not to leave its first love. The church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, we find, had left its first love. They had turned their eyes on something else. And maybe it was important, but it wasn't what they needed to have their eyes upon. And we need to have our eyes on the main goal. As we have our mission conference, we realize that souls are dying. Souls are dying. And they need to hear the Word of God. Number six, we need to not have a reputation of being alive when we are really dead. Do you think there's some churches in the area here, even on Canal Road, that are dead? They met today. Maybe songs were sung and a preacher got up and spoke. But in many cases, in a lot of our churches today, they are spiritually dead because they don't want to offend anybody. They're afraid that if they preach the whole Word of God, they're going to be people who are upset. And they're going to leave. And so they water down the Word of God. They water it down. Which brings us to number seven. How many points did I say I had in the conclusion? I'm glad you're listening to me. Seven. Seven. Certainly there may be more. May it never be said of us as it was said of the church of Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus was knocking at the door. Where should Jesus be? If two or three are gathered together in my name, what? There I'll be also. Does that mean that churches could meet and not be there for the right reasons? Yes. So if we are here right now with the desire to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are gathered together in the name of Jesus, what does that mean? That Jesus is here? Yes? That He is here right now. Isn't that exciting? That the Creator of the universe would take time to be with us today. And then we wonder, well, why don't people want to go to church? You ever ponder that? Why don't they want to go? Wouldn't you want to be where Jesus Christ is? I got another letter from Donald Trump. I'm just amazed. He knows who I am. You want to know something interesting? I am wearing a Donald Trump tie. What do you think about that? Wow, whoopee ding, right? Yes. Do you think we'd have more people today if it got out that Donald Trump was going to be with us today? Don't you think? I think that the auditorium would be full if they knew Donald Trump was going to be here today. If he were here, I'd preach the same sermon. He needs to hear it, right? He needs to hear. What is it interesting that we could have a full auditorium if Donald Trump was here, and yet Jesus Christ is here, and there are people who don't want to be bothered? That's sad, isn't it? Well, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there. I'm glad that he loves us. I'm glad that he is merciful. Are you glad that he's long-suffering? Absolutely. I'm glad that he told Peter, I'm not going to tell you to forgive somebody seven times. I'm going to tell you to forgive them 70 times seven. He forgives us again and again and again. But he wants to present the church spotless, without wrinkle, glorious. Shall we stand together? And as we have a time of invitation, are you right with the Lord today? Now, I know if they're making a statement like that, and I say, oh, let's have an invitation. If you come forward and you're thinking, oh, they're going to think I'm not right with God. Well, number one, you shouldn't be thinking or worried what the other person's thinking about. It ought to be you and the Lord. And if you need to come and pray, do so. Or maybe you'd like to sit there where you're at and pray right there. That'd be fine. But you know what's the most important thing that's going to happen when we leave here? That we leave right with the Lord. Do we know him as our Savior? Have we realized that I need a Savior and that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Do you know him as your Lord? And are you serving him faithfully? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, have your hand upon us. May the Spirit move amongst us. May we be convicted, Lord, as only you can do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.